Hold it, fellas. That don't move me. Let's get real, real gone for a change.
It's time to get real gone on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Here's your host, James Riley.
This is Jammin' James Riley, and you're tuned to your favorite hour of great music and interviews. It's the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Now, coming up, we've got part one with a gentleman you'll likely recognize as the drummer of the Stray Cats, Mr. Slim Jim Phantom.
Rockabilly deserves to be mainstream. It's a major influence on everything that's come since.
Much more with Slim Jim in just a few minutes. We'll talk about his new book, A Stray Cat Struts. Now, it's only appropriate to kick things off with the late, great Eddie Cochran from 1956 and the tune Skinny Jim on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour.
Well, I know God was deep bone and skin. Everybody raving about Skinny Jim, Skinny Jim. Ooh, man, Skinny Jim. Oh, yes, 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 all the gals love him, Skinny Jim. Ooh, well, I went to party and met Skinny Jim. My baby came with me, but you left with him, Skinny Jim. Man, Skinny Jim. Yes, 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 all the gals love him, Skinny Jim. Well, old Jim got charm, he got class. All the women love him more, yeah, 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 Skinny Jim. Ooh, man, Skinny Jim. Oh, yes, 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 all the gals love him, Skinny Jim. Well, big bumper, loopy, Skinny Jim. Ooh, big bumper, loopy, Skinny Jim. Ooh, be loopy Skinny Jim. Oh, yes, 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 all the gals love me on Skinny Jim. Well, I went to party with Skinny Jim. My baby came with me, but you're not with him, Skinny Jim. Man, Skinny Jim. Yes, 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 all the gals love him, Skinny Jim. Well, old Jim got charm, he got class. All the women love him, oh, yeah, 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 Skinny Jim. Ooh, man, Skinny Jim. Well, yes, 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 all the gals love him, Skinny Jim. One more time. Big Bumper Loopy Skinny Jim. Ooh, Big Bumper Loopy Skinny Jim. Ooh, be Papa Loopy Skinny Jim. Be Papa Loopy Skinny Jim. Oh, yes, 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 all the gals love me on Skinny Jim.
Hip, hip, Mr. Baby, if you wanna have a party, come on over and come along. Hip, hip, Mr. Baby, if you wanna have a party, come on over and let's get it on. Hip, hip, baby, you say you wanna love me, well you can't love me on the telephone. Get hip, baby, if you really wanna love me, come on over and let's get it on. You gotta rock it, gotta shake it, gotta bop it, don't knock it, but you'll be rockin' with the silvery dawn. You gotta rock it, gotta shake it, gotta bop it, don't knock it, you're the cutest little baby that I've ever, ever known. Hip, hip, baby, if you wanna have a party, come on over and come along. Come on over and let's get it on. Hip, hip, baby, if you wanna have a party, come on over and come along. Hip, hip, baby, if you wanna have a party, come on over and let's get it on. Hip, hip, baby, you say you wanna love me, well you can love me on the telephone. Get hip, baby, if you really wanna love me, come on over and let's get it on.
You gotta rock it, gotta shake it, gotta bop it, don't knock it, but still be the rockin' with the silvery dawn. You gotta rock it, gotta shake it, gotta bop it, don't knock it, you're the cutest little baby that I've ever, ever known. Hip, hip, baby, if you wanna have a party, come on over and come along.
hip, 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 baby. If you wanna have a party, come on over. Let's get it on.
That's Dennis Harold and Hip Hip Baby from his 1958 Imperial Records single. It's a tune the Polecats covered many years later. Now, coming up in about 3 minutes, we start our conversation with Slim Jim Phantom from the Stray Cats. Now, why don't we kick it off in a style? Initially released in England from their self-titled album in 1981, and then a hit the following year here in the U.S., from the compilation release Built for Speed, it's Rock This Town.
Hey, everybody, this is Slim Jim Phantom, and you're listening to my buddy Jammin' James Riley on the Rockabilly Blues Radio Hour.
Hey, this is Jammin' James Riley, and as promised, we got another James on the show. I'm excited about this. Slim Jim Phantom. Hey, welcome to the show, Jim.
Hey, Jammin' James.
Man, great to have you on here. Just a fantastic new book, A Stray Cat Struts, My Life as a Rockabilly Rebel, available on Thomas Dunn Books, St. Martin's Press. We'll talk about that here in a little bit. Man, I had the privilege of introducing you at Nashville Boogie not too long ago here in Nashville. What a great set, and it was so cool for me to watch you have, you know, you had a genuine excitement and almost humbled by the response from the folks out there.
Well, it's really nice to see a whole scene like that. Rockabilly scene all these years later, because there was 1,000 kids all kind of dressed up in Patsy Cline dresses and Hank Williams Western suits. And when we started doing this 35 years ago, 36 years, there such a thing didn't exist. So it was very nice to see the influence all these years later, and that we really, I think, spawned something that has legs. And these are all kids that genuinely love this American rockabilly music.
You talk about this in the book, that there really, you're right, there really wasn't a scene, and you guys pretty early on, you know, started getting impacted by it and finding out about rockabilly from even some bands like the Beatles and the Stones, both of which played a role in your life later on too, which is pretty cool. But yeah, I think a lot of America kind of discovered older American music from bands like that.
Yeah, don't you think Carl Perkins was very happy that the Beatles did his song? You know, I don't, you know, however hipster you want to be about the whole thing, it's nobody that I ever met, especially anyone who's younger than me, arrives at Gene Vincent. You maybe now they go via the Stray Cats or you know, some other newer bands, but everyone of a certain age like me, you discover the stuff, you just go deeper in the well. You have a Beatles record, or who's C. Perkins, or the Rolling Stones, who's Chuck Berry, and then you go deeper into the well, where, you know, the water might be colder and harder to get up, but it was there was no way to arrive to have Gene Vincent or Eddie Cochran as your starting point.
Yeah.
And you had to go back, and that's half the fun, I think, to discover this stuff. It's a little bit, you know, archaeology with rock and roll records. You're going back further. For me, that's half the fun. I don't know if... And along the way, you find a bunch of other stuff. A lot of this stuff, especially when we started doing it, was so obscure and so underground, and there was pre-internet and pre-CDs, really. It was, you had to go to the old school record store kind of thing. And even the guy that ran the record store, he wasn't some, you know, hipster rockabilly guy. He was some old guy with some, you know, records he was trying to sell.
Yeah.
It really wasn't a groovy scene in any way. We wanted to meet other people who were into it. We just couldn't really find anybody. We were the only three kids who were dressed up like that where we were from, you know. And so in something like Nashville Boogie or these other festivals, it's kind of cool to see what you're responsible for all these years later.
Oh, yeah.
Well, Bebopalula, she's my baby. Something else, man, you can't lose.
the new memoir from Stray Cats drummer Slim Jim Phantom, A Stray Cat Strut.
Stray Cat Strut, I'm a
Please cat.
I'm a feeling Casanova,
hey, better than
that side. Read about the highs and lows of being in a rock band that sold millions, plus extraordinary friendships, adventures, and lessons learned along the way.
Slim Jim Phantom,
A Stray Cat Strut. Available August 16th from Thomas Dunn Books. We're back on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour, and we just heard Gene and Eddie from the Stray Cats featuring our guest this hour, Slim Jim Phantom on drums. That was from their 1989 release, Blast Off, which was once again produced by Dave Edmonds. Now we'll get back to our conversation with Slim Jim, but first let's hear a tune from a band he formed with Daryl Higham on guitar and vocals. Jim will talk about this next episode, but this is from their album, The Catman Cometh, and the tune, You Can Go Now. Talk about growing up in Massapequa, New York. You met Lee Rocker in the fourth grade?
I have known my whole life.
Yeah.
Lee and I were the third or fourth grade. Yeah, and I knew them before that from Little League. And so Brian was a couple years ahead of us, but we were all in the same hallways and, you know, neighborhood.
You definitely knew that pretty early on you wanted to be in a band.
Yeah, I somehow knew that I wanted to. I don't even remember an exact moment or anything like that, but it was something that I knew that I always wanted to kind of travel. That there had to be more to where, to the great big world than where we were from. So we started going to New York City as much as we could, taking the train, and which was, you know, luckily very close, going to the music stores, going to the clubs. And I kind of knew that I wanted to see what the rest of the world looked like. And I somehow early on knew that rock and roll was a maybe a way. Even if you went to college and music college or got a gig in the city or, you know, something to get to move on a little bit. I knew I wasn't going to be a pro ball player kind of thing. I loved baseball, but I couldn't do that on a professional level. Didn't really want to study too much. It was hard work. So I saw music as kind of a possibility of a way to travel. And then when I played with the other two, I kind of really knew it was very good right away. We worked very hard at it, but it was a kind of a certain confidence right away. We knew we were really onto something.
Mitt, how did you get the standing up style for drums? Because I certainly don't remember anybody before that, and certainly plenty since. How did that come about for you?
Well, I'd say everyone does it in the video now. Again, the Stray Cats, we had a purpose to and a belief and a want to do something different, right? As much as we love rockabilly, we love this and that, we wanted to do something that no one ever did before. And there are people with small drum kits, and no one ever put the drums at the front of the stage. Nobody. And I can honestly say, at the time, I didn't know anyone who stood up. We saw photographs, and years later, who's still my buddy, Dickie Harrell, Bebop Harrell, Gene Vincent and the Blue Caps, we would see photographs. And when I met Dickie Harrell, but again, he was at the back. When I met Dickie Harrell, I said, dude, you were very responsible for like what I do, and you're a big influence. And like, he chuckled a little bit. And I said, what are you laughing at, man? He said, I only did it in photographs. Here is, you know, goofy me. I'm doing it at the gig, man. But we really wanted a conceptual and a visual thing. And no one ever put the drums at the front of the stage. I guess maybe you can go back and find some funky old photographs and some guys doing it. I didn't have access to that. I really thought that I saw Dickie Harrell do it in some photos, and I wanted to take it one step further. I'm sure with Wikipedia or whatever, they could probably find someone who stood up and played the drums in Clarksville, Mississippi in 1943 or whatever. You know, like, I didn't know anything. I really thought I was the guy doing it. And I did the whole gig that way, and the bass drum. And so I don't know if anyone did that before. That I don't know, but I think I'm the first one. And for all drummers, I get along with every drummer ever. We have a certain club, and every drummer likes what I do, regardless of how fast someone can play, or if it's heavy metal, or if it's jazz, or if it's fusion. All the drummers like what I did because I put the drums at the front of the stage, and no one really had done that. And it's all right on to the drummers. So it's another thing I feel kind of pleased by and honored, grateful for, that every drummer likes what I did.
And it's amazing to me to think of you guys leaving New York, going to England, and really basically homeless for a while to break this, and coming up with the name Stray Cats, which is really kind of describing what you were, which is pretty amazing.
Yeah, it's a little bit of crazy script. I don't know if you can really recreate it, or certainly couldn't advise someone else. This is how you do it, man.
Yeah.
It's pretty extraordinary. Kind of, you know what I say the whole time in the book, too? It's about the other two, and it's about us all having some cosmic, we're all from the same place and gotten to the same thing, and one of us was the drummer and one of us was the guitar player, and just all got into the same thing at the same time and realized that there was really something special to it all. When we first started, it was very different. There was a template for everything else. There had even been punk rock. There had been new wave. There had been English guys playing rock and roll. There had been everything. Really, rockabilly hadn't really happened. It was kind of the strangest thing because there was no template for it. You could see some guy with spiky hair in New York. Oh, that guy's a punk. Or some guy with long hair. Oh, that guy's a hippie. Or that guy's wants to be a glam rocker or whatever. But there was nothing that could point at and say those are rockabilly guys.
Yeah,
it didn't exist.
Ooh. with my tail in the air.
Straight cat strut, I'm a
ladies' cat.
I'm a feeling Casanova.
Hey, man, that's that.
Get a shoe thrown at me from a mean old man. Get my dinner from a garbage can.
He is one of Rockabilly and Roots' premier guitarists, having played in Headcat with Lemmy and Slim Jim Phantom, the Rockettes, and 69 Cats. She is rock and roll royalty, the daughter of Linda Gale Lewis and the niece of Jerry Lee Lewis. They are Danny B. Harvey and Annie Marie Lewis.
Don't you lie to me.
With their debut Lanark Records release, Barbed Wire Heart, they inject their style into classics such as Don't Lie to Me, Hit the Road, Good Golly Miss Molly, and Crossroads Blues. Plus originals written by Danny B. Harvey like Easy to Love, Get So Excited, and Rock Little Baby. Danny B. Harvey and Annie Marie Lewis, Barbed Wire Heart. Available now on Lanark Records. This is Jam and James Riley, and you're tuned to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. We just heard Stray Cat Strut from the Stray Cats, which peaked at number 3 in the U.S., number 11 in the U.K. And our guest is drummer of Stray Cats fame, Slim Jim Phantom. We're talking about his latest book, Stray Cat Struts, appropriately titled. We'll come back to Jim in just a moment, but here's a track he played drums on, along with Lee Rocker, also of Stray Cats fame, on bass, and Danny B. Harvey on guitar. They're backing up Elvis Presley with some vocal tracks taken from his appearances on the Louisiana Hayride in the mid-50s. Here's Baby Let's Play House.
Baby, 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 baby So we can do what we did before. Now, baby, come back, baby, come. Come back, baby, come.
One of the things that really stood out to me in reading this book is just the role that the Rolling Stones played with you guys. Just them having such a belief level and you guys wanting to produce you, it ultimately didn't work out, but taking you out on tour. I mean, what was that moment like going out, opening up the first time? You're thinking, I just came from New York and I've been sleeping on a floor and now I'm opening up for the Rolling Stones.
Yeah, we met them early on because there was a buzz about the band in England, you know, especially because we had a wacky story and there was a lot of people coming out to see it just to check it out, really, you know, to see if everything was true kind of thing. And so they came early on, maybe within the first, you know, handful of the shows, and they really liked it. Those English guys are very hip to you know, that certain age of English guys, the Beatles or the Stones or the Who or the Clapton and, you know, all that. Anyone of that age, English kind of classic rock stars, they love American rock and roll. They love it. That's where they came from. I think, you know, to, you know, the Stones and the Beatles and all that, their singles were Carl Perkins and Buddy Holly and Chuck Berry. And so they really got it right away.
Yeah.
And they loved it. And I remember Keith Richards, we were at some table in a nightclub and I'm just digging the hole. I can't believe this thing. And he said, man, we just sold your music back to you, man. That's what we did. It was like, yeah, cool. Okay. Yeah. Well, you know, but it's exactly right. You know, it's American rockabilly, rock and roll. And like those guys are the first to admit it. So John Lennon would be the first guy to tell you. If it wasn't for Buddy Holly, it wouldn't be a Beatles. And they, in my experience, those guys never tried to deny that or, you know, they love it. So they wanted to produce the record, the guys from the Stones. And again, a world like theirs is so, you know, busy, but at the same time moves at a certain pace, you know? So we had to work at a much faster pace because you have to kind of capitalize on the moment. We were the hottest thing in the country. 10 record labels wanted to sign us and we were in the newspapers and all that. But we didn't have any money. We didn't have a record deal. We just had a buzz and word of mouth going and rock stars coming to the show, but we still had to make a record, you know, prove we could. Outside of London, nobody knew it. It was very London centric at the beginning. So all this is happening at exactly the same time. Like maybe the next night was the one, but we met Edmonds and we decided to go with the label that we went with, and they accepted Edmonds. I didn't really know the guy. I maybe had heard I Hear You Knocking, but Because you have to remember the whole time, the whole story. We're like 19 years old.
Yeah.
All of happening, the three guys. We had already played a lot of shows. Like, I hope I say that in the book, you know, as much as I believe it. By the time this happened and the Rolling Stones came to see us and all these people, we had worked very hard. We had already done 100 shows, 4 sets a night, 5 nights a week in New York. Before we were, so when you get 20 minutes to play and the Stones are going to be in the audience and this is going to be a producer and the TV station, we were very good at it.
Yeah.
You can't really fake that. I mean, the other side of it, the other way that the story turns out is that whether it's, you know, Pete Townsend or Keith Richards or Chrissie Hynde or Joe Strummer or Lemmy or the Pistols, they come to the gig and you're not that good and no one ever hears about it again.
Yeah.
You know, just getting someone like that to the gig doesn't, you know, that's really half the battle kind of thing, you know? And we weren't inviting anyone. It was just a word of mouth, the buzz. They were turning up and we were really good at it. And that kind of was the result. Ultimately meeting with Edmund, so we were in the studio, I think within the next few days, when we cut Runaway Boys, you know, and the rest is kind of like, we kind of backed it up with a modern rockabilly record. I think if we'd gone in there and cut Black Slacks, it wouldn't have really, like, it would have been good, I'm sure, but it wouldn't have launched the revolution of rockabilly, I don't think.
Their first single released in 1980 and got to number 9 on the UK singles chart. That's the Stray Cats featuring our guest Slim Jim Phantom. I mean, when I think about Stray Cats, you had the look, you had the style, you had the musicianship, you certainly had the songs. I mean, those songs are just phenomenal. And it really has, as much as maybe the Beatles and Stones influenced you, pretty much everybody that has come since has probably points to Stray Cats and has discovered, you know, Carl Perkins and Gene Vincent because of, or the Burnett Brothers because of Stray Cats, sure. Which is pretty cool.
Which is the greatest thing, because for us at the end of the day, and me, well, I'm a fan of this stuff. I love that stuff. We would pour over whatever the grainy photograph was in the middle of that Johnny Burnett record that folded out. There's, the 17 rockin' hits, which we played every one of them, I think, during our Four Set Tonight days. Because we loved that stuff. We truly fans of it. So, and a little bit later, those guys who was ever left in that scene, they came to us, and in a thankful way, like someone like the Rolling Stones came to us, and they're like, we want to get involved way. Carl Perkins and Wanda Jackson, and I remember Paul Burleson and the guys who were from the Blue Caps, and they came to see us, and thank you boys for bringing all this back, because they got a little bit busier when the whole thing got plugged in again. And a lot of these guys hadn't toured since then. Sonny Burgess, I just saw, Narvel Feltz, Charlie Gracie, all these people who are fantastic guys. They said that we helped them.
Oh, sure.
And to me, that's just an amazing, for me, an all shucks moment. I'm happy to, the idea that I could help someone who was on Sun Records. That's something that I'm very pleased about. I mean, those guys, there was no hard feeling or no, resentment or no, we should have gotten better, bigger in the 50s. Never entered into it. Those guys are just grateful that the whole thing got plugged in again.
It's been 57 years since he last recorded at Nashville's RCA Studio B. Rockabilly legend Billy Harlan is back to bop some more.
I want to bop, I want to stroll, really love rock and roll.
Bobbin' at Studio B is the new release from Billy Harlan on Muddy Roots Records, featuring a brand new version of his classic I Wanna Bop, plus Boogie Woogie Rock and Roll Man, Bebopin' Annie, Never Been Kissed, This Lonely Man, and the single I Ain't Elvis.
But I'm cool.
Get Boppin' Now with Billy Harlan. Boppin' at Studio B is the triumphant return from Billy Harlan. Available on 2 7-inch records with digital download card from Muddy Roots Records. Billy Harlan, Boppin' at Studio B. Nominations are now open for the 2017 Ameripolitan Music Awards for male, female, and group in rockabilly, honky tonk, western swing, and outlaw categories, as well as Ameripolitan DJ, venue, and festival. If you enjoy the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour with all the tunes and exclusive interviews each week, consider giving a vote for me, James Riley, in the DJ category.
Go ahead, make my day.
For more information, go to Ameripolitan.com. Your source for rockabilly, blues, surf, early country, early rock and roll, and Ameripolitan music. This is the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Now, we just heard a cover of the Johnny Burnett and Rock and Roll Trio tune, Baby Blue Eyes, by the Stray Cats. Featuring our guest this episode next, Slim Jim Phantom, that first appeared on their UK album, Gonna Ball, released in October of 1981. It also appeared on their first US release, Built for Speed, released in June of 1982, contained only one new track, the title track, and the rest were taken from the band's first two UK releases, featuring, of course, Rock This Town, Stray Cat Strut, Runaway Boys, Rumble in Brighton, and many more. It's interesting, it's so many artists that I've talked to that either had major record label deals in late 70s or early 80s or were trying to get a record label deal. Everybody from Cyndi Lauper with Blue Angel or Robert Gordon. Billy Burnett was on Columbia at the time. Levi and the Rock Hats were trying to get a deal. But all of them were saying that the record labels were telling them, rockabilly's just not going to work. Nobody wants to hear this, blah, blah, blah. And then everybody said, and then Stray Cats broke here in the U.S. Obviously, it took you guys a while to break here. You broke over in England first. But it was amazing that the record labels here didn't have the foresight that others did.
Yeah, record labels, sometimes it's a struggle with that. But the thing with the Stray Cats, when I try to tell anyone else, it's not, we weren't going for like specific, like we don't want to make it in the rockabilly world because there really wasn't rockabilly. We wanted to have a hit record. We were on the same bill, the same gig, same MTV, whatever, as the mainstream artists. And I think that's a very important thing. As cool as it is to have all these kind of specialized festivals, and it's got to cross over for it to be truly successful.
Yeah. You bring up other festivals like the U.S. Festival in 83. You guys were on there with, good grief, Van Halen and Ozzy and I think U2.
Flashback.
Yeah.
And that's what I tell the young guys. It's great to be playing at Nashville Boogie and headlining rockabilly festivals and all that, but it's rockabilly deserves to be mainstream. And it's a major influence on everything that's come since. So it's really, I think maybe the same way Carl Perkins looked at us, now it's someone else's turn to have a big hit, and then I'll be the opening act.
You bring up Carl. I'd forgotten about, until reading this book, that you and Lee backed up Carl on the Porky's Revenge soundtrack, which Dave Edmonds had produced. And didn't he say that was the best version of Blue Suede Shoes he had recorded?
Yeah, I don't know if he said that more to other people than just me. He said, I've done more versions of that song than you boys have had Hot Meals. And that's the best one ever. I'm sure he cut a lot of great versions of it, but I was, thrilled again. And we had already at that point had a success. We were known around town kind of guys. But when Edmund calls to do a session with Carl Perkins, to what are you going to chorus? And I think we did the song that we needed for the movie, in 20 minutes, and then we had the whole rest of the night. I think somewhere there's a tape in a box somewhere with a bunch of other songs on it. So we had the whole night.
Yeah, I think Honey Don't showed up on the CD version of the soundtrack, which is pretty cool.
Oh, good. I'm so bad at that stuff.
Well, it's one for the money, two for the show, three to get ready, and I go, cat, go, but don't you dip on my blue suede shoe. Me down, step in my face, slander my name all over the place. Do anything you wanna do, but on baby, lay off of my shoes. Don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can
can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoe. All right, let's go, cat. Do anything you wanna do, but hop on, baby, let off of my shoes, and don't you step on my blue suede shoes. You can do anything but lay off of my blue suede shoes.
That's the great Carl Perkins from 1985 in the soundtrack to Porky's Revenge, produced by Dave Edmonds in their cover of Blue Suede Shoes, featuring from the Stray Cats Lee Rocker on bass and our guest Slim Jim Phantom on drums. Now, we'll have more with Slim Jim next time, but let's get back to some more tunes right now, released in August 1999 on Yep Rock Records from the album More Bad Habits. It's the late, great Ronnie Dawson and Bob Wirebetty on the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. That's the tune Lies, Lies, Lies. It's Crash Gordon from a single available on Lanark Records. And you've been listening to the Rockabilly and Blues Radio Hour. Our website is rockabillyandblues.com. It's rockabilly, the letter N, blues.com. Stay tuned next time with more from our guest Slim Jim Phantom and more great music. Until then, it's Jam and James Riley saying keep on rockin'.